You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
I got a word in me this morning that I feel God's given us for, as a church. And I truly believe that it's actually going to be a bit of a mind-blowing moment for many of you, many of us today. So the message is called, "This House is for Everyone." And if you're taking notes, feel free to write that down. If you've got your Bible app, all the notes are in there ready for you to go. So when you hear someone say, "the house of God," what do you see? What thoughts go through your head when you hear somebody say, "the house of God"? Do you think about a building? Do you think about a church location? Now, I want us to narrow, if not eradicate, the disconnect when it comes to understand what or who the house of God is. So, for example, is the building, is this building the house of God? How can people be a living building? Is the building what houses God's people? Or do God's people house God? Now, some of you are like, what does this even mean? Maybe you're even feeling a little bit like this morning. All of a sudden you're like, you've lost me. You've just started. My mind has blown already and you've completely lost me. I want to narrow, if not eradicate, the disconnect of understanding what and who the house of God is. Amen? This is going to bless you this morning. I want to help us refine the biblical understanding. You can get that off because it's slow. Just to narrow and refine the biblical understanding of what these thoughts and questions, the answers to these things today. Now, the one thing that you can be sure of at this point of the message, the one thing you can be sure of right now is the house of God is for everyone. This house is for everyone. This church, this building welcomes people into it. That's the one thing you can be sure of right now. Now, I just want to encourage you that you are a welcoming house. Our church is a welcoming house. I want to encourage you that it's just a beautiful example of Jesus and the kingdom of God. Now, one of the things that we truly believe as a church, and we believe it so much that we made it one of our values, and it'll be on the screen or in your app right now. It says, "We value what he values. Within this house, within this culture, we value all, love all, and believe that it is only as all that we truly reflect the image, identity, and character of our Creator." The whole church together, this beautiful picture of the saved, redeemed, sanctified church of Jesus Christ, that's when we truly begin to reflect who Jesus is. You know, it says in Psalm 122, starting in verse 1, it says this, "I was overjoyed when they said, 'Let's go up to the house of the Lord.'" I've always been encouraged by this scripture. So, you know what? Just to hear that someone was overcome with joy to go to church, this is awesome. But see, this is written in the Old Testament time. So they weren't going to church per se. They were going to the temple. We're going to the house of the Lord, the house that contains the presence of God. Overjoyed to go and visit the temple that housed the presence of the Lord. And because we value God, we value his heart, and we value people, we have a culture that reflects God's heart. Does that happen by accident? No, that happens on purpose. You choose to value specific things, it becomes your culture. Amen? And because our culture is healthy, because our culture is Bible-based, we find ourselves in this unique and blessed position that when a friend, a church member, brother, sister, family member says, "Let's go to the house of the Lord," we find ourselves, or maybe you're beginning to find yourself in this place. And remember, we're works in progress, amen? We're not who we were yesterday. We're works in progress, amen? But you may have You may be in this place or beginning to find yourself in this place with this feeling where I'm beginning to be feeling this overflowing joy that when someone says, let's go and meet together as the church, I'm beginning to feel this excitement about meeting together as the church. What a blessing to find yourself in a church where not only can you be glad and happy and clap your hands, but be overcome with joy that you get to be part of the house of God. That you get to be part of the house of God. I'm not talking about bricks and mortar this morning. You get to be part of the house of God. Some of you who have done a little bit of studying this are like, I see where you're going this morning. I see where you're going. What a blessing. You know, the beautiful extension of this is that you get to welcome people into a healthy house. You get to welcome friends and family and colleagues and anybody who comes across your path. You get to welcome them into a healthy house. They get to learn what it is to have the overflowing joy as well. I want to encourage you, own that. Own that. It's not just for some people to own. This is for our church to own. We are a healthy house of God. This is your house. This is your building. This is your church. So you're talking about houses and mortar. This is your church body. This building houses us, so that by default it's yours as well. Amen. This is our church. This is where we meet together. Own it. This house welcomes and houses the church when we meet together, when we worship, when we learn, when we're equipped to go out into the world. I love this passage of scripture in Psalm 26, verse 8. It says, Lord, I love the house where you live, the place where your glory is. In the NLT, it says all this, I love your sanctuary, Lord, the place where your glorious presence dwells. So I'm gonna build a little bit on this today as the scriptures reveal revelation for us. You know, when the psalmist wrote this, he was referring to the fact that the house where God's presence lived and dwelled was the temple. And to dwell and be near the presence of God was his deep love and passion of his heart. You know, for you and I today, I love that we get to join together on Sundays and other moments throughout the week as well. For those of you who are part of a small group or you might catch up for coffee with people. We don't do that to enter the presence of God per se. We don't have to come to the temple to enter the presence of God anymore. He said, what? We don't have to come into this room to feel and know the presence of God. Like I said, I'm going to build on this today as the scripture gives us revelation around this. This is going to be mind-blowing for some people in this room and is going to propel you into a fuller relationship with God than you ever known was possible. Because as followers of Jesus who are forgiven and in a relationship with him, we now carry the spirit and presence of God in us. Our hearts, our spirit has become his home. We don't enter a building anymore to get into the presence of God. The presence of God has actually made a home inside this building. Amen? This building. For those of you who are listening, I'm pointing at my chest. In this building. It's a beautiful picture. We now carry the presence and the spirit of God. When we gather, know this, the same glory that the psalmist so fervently wanted to dwell in now dwells in you. So desperate to get to the temple, to get close to the presence of God and dwell in that same presence now dwells in you. Oh God, I haven't felt you for a while. Have you paid attention to the fact that the Spirit is dwelling in you? Or have you just kind of got distracted and listened to that and watched that, and all of a sudden it's just like, I've forgotten that this is now the temple, and I need to pay due diligence to the one who resides in the temple that's inside of me. The understanding that God's glorious presence dwells in you. And when we join together inside this building, we get to express love and worship to him as the full picture of the body combined within a building. It'll come clearer. As I read some more scriptures, it's going to come clearer. In Psalm 27:4, we read the following. It says this in the Passion. Here's the one thing I crave from God. The one thing I seek above all else. I want the privilege of living with him every moment in his house, finding the sweet loveliness of his face, filled with awe, delighting in his glory and grace. I want to live my life so close to him that he takes pleasure in my every prayer. And from the ERV, it says, I ask one thing from the Lord. This is what I want most. Let me live in the Lord's house all my life, enjoying the Lord's beauty and spending time in his palace. See, we see this heart's cry of the psalmist. It's like, I just want to be close to him. I just want to be in his house. That's what I love about Jesus. I truly believe that Jesus was God's reply. So you want to be in my house? I want to make a house in you. I want to make a home. I want to make my temple in you. I don't want to be separated from you either. I love you so much. I'm sending Jesus. What a beautiful reply, amen. Beautiful reply. This deep desire to be close to God and dwell in his house and to spend time and be in awe of God's glory and grace. This is where we begin to catch this glimpse of the psalmist's desire to dwell in the house of God. But we also begin to get this glimpse of the New Testament plan that God already had in place through Jesus. The psalmist wanted to dwell in God's house, but God wanted to make his home in people, to dwell in their hearts. Let's look at some New Testament scriptures this morning to begin to bring this revelation together. In Galatians 4 verse 6, it says this, because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out Abba Father. Now, you've read it before, but I want us just to have a look at this again. Because we're his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. Into your heart, the Spirit of Jesus has been sent. Now, it doesn't say in the following scriptures that after he sent the Spirit of his Son there, that then the Son decided, I'm going to move out. He sent the Spirit of his Son. When we cried out to God and said, God, forgive me. Forgive me of my sin. And he received us and he sent his Son into our hearts. His Son makes a home in your heart. His Son's made a home in your heart. Now, I know for some of us today that this almost spells it out clearly enough that we understand exactly what's going on in the scriptures. But perhaps it doesn't quite seal it for you. Let's look at Ephesians 3:17 just to really make it clear for all of us today. Ephesians 3:17, then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Is that clear enough? Well, that made it a bit clearer, didn't it? Whoa. Then Christ will make a home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. You're not alone. You're not doing this alone. Christ has made a home in your heart. You and your heart has been made a holy place when Jesus came and resided in your heart. When you chose, or when you do choose to trust him and choose to follow him in all of your ways, he makes his home in your heart. You become a carrier of God's Spirit when you trust in him. You become a carrier and a house to Jesus. Yeah, that you. So, you mean the church? Yeah, I mean the church, but I'm not talking about a building. Yet you and I become a house that Jesus resides in. It's going to become clear in a second. I just want you to be encouraged today that as you live in Christ and He lives in you, that your relationship and understanding of the ways of Jesus grows deeper. Let's be honest, what you understood about the Bible 12 months ago, you know way more now than you did 12 months ago. Particularly if you made a decision to follow Jesus in the last 12 months, you really know a lot more now. What you knew 10 years ago, you're well beyond that now. You are not the same. Why? Because your roots are growing deeper because Jesus has made a home in you. So if you're a carrier of God's Spirit, I want to be clear. This means that God has made His home in you through Jesus. 1 Corinthians 6:19. You should know that your body is a temple for the Holy Spirit that you receive from God, and that lives in you. You don't own yourselves, from the Passion Translation. Have you forgotten that your body is now a sacred temple of the Spirit of holiness who lives in you? You don't belong to yourself any longer, for the gift of God, the Holy Spirit, lives inside your sanctuary. So not only is it a house, it's a temple. Your spirit houses Jesus, but it's now we look at the scriptures as it goes deeper. Your spirit has now become a temple, a holy sanctuary where the Spirit of God dwells. Are you feeling just a little bit privileged this morning? That God would choose you not just to make a home in, but to make holy as a temple. Wow. Just let it sink in for a moment. Chosen. In Ephesians 2 verse 20 to 21, it says this: you believers are like a building that God owns. Say what? You're so often in church life, we can become so focused on the buildings that we meet in that we forget, maybe we forget that us believers, we're actually like a building that God owns. It's going to become a whole lot clearer when we get to this next passage of scripture after this. That building was built on the foundation that the apostles and prophets prepared. Christ Jesus Himself as the most important stone in that building. The whole building is joined together in Christ, and He makes it grow and become a holy temple in the Lord. We believers are a building that God owns, and Jesus is the chief cornerstone, the main stone, and we're being built into a holy temple together. In the NLT, it says it like this: together we are His house, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus Himself. We're carefully joined together in Him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. See, what I love about this is maybe sometimes you can feel that maybe you're of less value than the people around you. Maybe it's, I don't feel like I'm as good as that person. You can caught in this comparison trap. I want to encourage you that when I read this scripture here, we are carefully joined together in Him. You are a stone that has been forged by God Himself, and He has carefully chosen you to build His holy temple with. Wow. Your feelings may be real, but this is true. Your feelings may be based in something, it's truth, but it's not who you are. This is who you are. This is who you know. Together, we are His house. Carefully joined together, we are His house. He's carefully chosen you and is joining us together through Christ as a holy temple that He dwells in. Not this room. Is He in this room? Yes. Do you know why He's in this room? Because you're in this room. That's why He's in this room. That's why he's in this room. That's why I'm excited when someone says, let's go to the house of the Lord. Because I know that other believers are going to be there and they're housing the Spirit of Jesus as well. And when we come together, all of a sudden, the church is built. Amen? Starting to get the revelation? Whoa. You would have most certainly heard this from stage recently. In fact, you may have heard it this morning. We don't go to church, we are the church. Amen. And you would have heard that for the first time. You're like, whoa, 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 whoa. And it's just all of a sudden, it's just like, wow. We call this building the church, but this building is not the church. This building is a building. It houses the church. This building, these bricks and mortar, houses the church. Now, this statement, according to scriptures, that we don't go to church, we are the church, it's true. And when you research the scriptures, it's powerfully true. But I just want us to go to these, we're going to look at this next passage of scriptures. And these New Testament scriptures go to painstaking lengths to make it even clearer for us. 1 Peter 2 verse 4 to 5 out of the NLT. You are coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. He was rejected by people, but he was chosen by God for great honor. And you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy priests. Well, hang on a second. I'm not just a stone anymore. He's building me into a holy priest as well. That's who you're called and chosen and refined into be. What's more, you're his holy priest. Through the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. And we'll talk about that last sentence in a second. Out of the Passion Translation, it says it like this from verse 3. Especially now that you've had a taste of the goodness of the Lord Jehovah and have experienced his kindness. So keep coming to him who is the living stone. Though he was rejected and discarded by men, but chosen by God and is priceless in God's sight. Come and be his living stones who are continually being assembled into a sanctuary for God. For now you serve as holy priests, offering up spiritual sacrifices that he readily accepts through Jesus Christ. Get ready for this morning. You're like, oh, I hope one day that I can operate in that priestly role of giving some spiritual sacrifices that Jesus, you know, Jesus and God will readily accept. Let me tell you, this morning you've already been doing it. The spiritual sacrifices of the worship and the praise and the adoration that we gave at the beginning of the service. We come together as the church that is built as living stones, and we offer spiritual sacrifices to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are already operating in your priestly role. Wow. Do you know who you are? This is who you are. These passages of scripture, this is who you are. You're a living stone chosen by God, being assembled as his holy sanctuary. And you're a priest that comes and gives worship when we join together as the church. When you're watching a podcast and all of a sudden you just catch yourself just, I just need to give you worship, God. This is powerful that your word speaks this over me. If you know Jesus, you're not just saved. Do you know who you are? Maybe your response before this message was, you know, I was a sinner, but now I'm saved. It's a great place to start. But that's not who you are anymore. You're a living stone that's building a sanctuary that God dwells in, and you're a holy priest that has been mandated to actually give worship and praise to God the Father. Holy sacrifices to God. Amen. You're a living stone that God has chosen to make his temple out of. That's who you are. You're a living stone that God has chosen to make his temple out of. That is who you are. We're talking about a next level understanding of your identity in and through Christ. It's part of our mission and vision statement that all would know that their identity in and through Christ. I truly believe that this, if you catch this in this moment, this is a next level revelation of what that actually means. You know, this room, This room is a blessing, but it's not a temple. This building, it's a blessing. God has blessed us with this property. God has blessed us with this 15 acres. Maybe you haven't been part of the church room. You're like, 15 acres? 15 acres. God has blessed us with 15 acres and a building on it. And he's blessed us with another 5 acres down the road. It's all part of God's long-term plan of calling us to this part of our city. Amen. Do we respect the fact that we have this great place to meet as the church? Yes, we do. And we treat it accordingly. Why are we grateful and thankful for this space, though? Because it tells us that God has mandated us, provided for us, destined us, released us to be a beacon of light for our city, to create spaces where people of every nation can find Jesus and know that this house is for everyone. See, when I say this house is for everyone, by now you've probably picked up I'm not talking about this room. I'm not talking about this building. This house that God is building, spiritual living stones, this house is for everyone. Is this building space for everyone? Yes, it is. But wouldn't it be a pity if that was it? This house that God is building, this holy temple, is for everyone. You know, Acts 13:47, I'll read this scripture out again just because it will bless you if you haven't heard it before. This will fulfill what the Lord has commanded us. I've destined you to become a beacon light for the nations and release salvation to the ends of the earth. It's the holy calling for his church. It's the holy calling for you and I. He's destined us to become a beacon light. And that's why we revel in the fact that God has given us this space within our city, because it's part of us being a beacon light. Now, we could put a big light up on top of a building and have it flashing around like a lighthouse. But again, it's not about the bricks and mortar, is it? The beacon light is in his house. You are his house. You're his holy temple. The beacon light is in you. So you go out into our city and you release salvation to the ends of the earth. Amen. God is good. Are you getting it? Let me just drill down on this a little bit further. I know I'm taking a bit of time this morning, but I just want this to get to the point where you're like, whoa, I am mandated. I am a beacon light. I am mandated. This house is for everyone. I need to let people know that God has a place in the house for everyone. In Exodus 20, verse 2, and the scripture's not on the screen, I'm just going to tell you about the narrative for a moment. Feel free to write it down so you can read back on it later and know that I'm not telling tales. We catch this glimpse of God in Exodus 20 verse 2, bringing his people out of the house of slavery. The house of slavery was Egypt. Now, I just want to encourage you, in the New Testament, we catch Jesus not only bringing people out into freedom or a group of people into freedom. See, sin once enslaved this house. Sin once enslaved your house. And so in the New Testament, we don't just see God bringing a people group out of slavery of Egypt or out of slavery of a space. In the New Testament, we see Jesus bringing us, our house. He's like, you know what? I'm not going to take you out of that place. I'm going to take the slavery out of you, out of your house, and I'm going to put freedom in your house. No longer doing it for a group, doing it for each and every single one of us as individuals so that we can become the living stone. Amen? Jesus leads us spiritually out of being trapped by sin in our hearts and instead chooses to make our hearts his home. God's a good God. Let me say it again. This house is for everyone. It's his house. It's your house. It's our house. We are the house. See, when we welcome people into our building, and if you're here today for the first time, welcome into our building. Welcome into our space. We love that you're here. See, when we welcome people into our building, we welcome people to become part of his living house. That's what we're actually doing. Because of this, You get to welcome people into his house. And because of that, he makes his home in them as they respond to his love and his salvation. Who wants a quick story this morning? I'm going to have to rush through this so we don't go over time this morning. When we have people at our house, when I'm talking about we live up the road, when we have people over at our house, Naomi has a plan that as a family that we need to execute to make sure that people feel welcome. Tea, coffee, food that's special, the table is set, the house is clean, they're welcomed at the door. They have to be welcomed, and they also have to be walked to the door. It's a plan that needs to be executed. Welcome to the door and made to know that they're welcome. We make sure that we're home. We're present in our home so that we can be sure that we can help them settle in. The bathroom and the facilities are clean from the assault of my children. The truth of the matter is at times our children may prefer to do other things rather than being called to get the house ready. When I say other things, what I'm really saying, anything other than the house things. That's actually what I'm saying. Things that are more important, like Nintendo, games, music, TV, movies, staring mindlessly at a wall. You know, the important things are more important than getting the house ready. But it's worth going through the challenge to get every area ready. Things are put away. Shoes and daily things are ordered and accounted for. Spaces are made for people to feel like that they can belong in our space. It's a family culture that values creating spaces and welcoming people into it. It's a biblical call to do that as well, amen. So when I say that this house is for everyone, I'm also saying that your house here is for everyone. Your house, the church, needs to be your home so that you can make it a home for others. Your house needs help to get it ready. Your house needs to welcome your guests. Your house needs to be present. Your house needs you to help settle people in. Your house needs you to help make sure that the children haven't assaulted the bathroom. Your house needs you to choose calling over preference. Your house needs you to help get the space ordered and ready for people to come and belong in our space. We value what he values. We value people. We value family. Therefore, we are proactive in getting our house both ready spiritually and practically. This is an encouragement for you today. Maybe you've been sort of sitting and just like, I sort of don't get what I'm meant to buy into. Like, what am I meant to like? So everyone's busy around me doing stuff and I just come and go. And what I'm saying this morning is I would love for you to actually get proactively involved in getting the house ready and keeping it in order, getting involved to prepare the way for other people to actually find the same Jesus that you found, to help settle them in, to welcome them and walk them to the door. Right? All those things, right? I'm asking you to proactively join in that. Why? Because this house is for everyone. Now, I want to encourage you. It's such a blessing when you, the living stones of the church, are here before the service starts. You know, to be honest, it's even a blessing if you're here when the service starts. That's even a blessing too. I just want to encourage you that being a living stone and a part of the body that helps get the house ready to welcome people who are seeking Jesus. It's a great way to outwork the basic mission of Jesus. Just be here. Just if that's where you have to start, just by being here, if that's your proactive involvement, awesome. Just be here and help set an atmosphere for new people who are trying to find Jesus. Create an atmosphere of worship. I mean, that's a powerful thing. That blesses me when I hear people's voices singing I'm standing there. I hear people's voices coming past me. I know that for the worship leaders, that's like when they've got their in-ears in and they can actually still hear the. I mean, it's worship. It's not karaoke, amen. It's worship. Create an atmosphere. Welcome people into the space that is your house. Make a space that's a space of belonging. You know, it blesses me as your pastor and shepherd. What does it really do? It makes the house work perfectly as Jesus wanted it to outwork. You know, to have you praying and leaning into the message and staying until the salvation altar calls finished, it shows that you're joining in your house. It shows that you're proactively helping to build the house. Because effectively, this is it, isn't it? Our mandate is to see the house built in others. Yeah. And so us coming to church, it's about far more than just coming to church. We are the living sanctuary, the living people of God that he uses to help build the kingdom in others. And I just want to put this out there today that you're invited to join in making that a powerful reality in people's lives. It takes all of us. It takes the body for that to happen. We value what he values within this house, within this culture. We value all, love all, just as the keys come this morning. And believe that it is only as all that we truly reflect the image, identity, and character of our Creator. This morning, a really different message. I know it's a different message from what we would normally do, but I just feel that this is beyond theological understanding. I mean, it's great for us to theologically understand that the temple is not the place, the building is not the place that houses God's presence anymore. You are the temple and you house the presence. I mean, that's great theological teaching, right? The revelation of that you are a living stone and God is taking you and carefully molding and refining you. It's like, that's the exact place where I need you in this holy temple. What a powerful revelation. You're not just an attender anymore. You're carefully chosen as a living stone, refined, put into that place. And then he takes it a step further and says, you're not just a living stone anymore. I've actually called you to be a holy priest that offers sacrifice and worship to me. So all of a sudden, your proactive involvement is not from a place of even. I had a bit of a moment this morning. You know, we often, I've said it before, it's like, oh, we just, you know, can you serve the house of God? Have a think about that statement for a moment now this morning. Can you serve the house of God? Can you join us and serve the house of God? Are you serving a building? No. Are you serving bricks and mortar? No. Who's the house of God? You are. And you are. And you are. You're the house of God too. So all of a sudden, a throwaway statement that's just become language within church, all of a sudden it's like, I get to serve the house of God. I get to mutually refresh the people who come into the house of God, whether it's their first time or their 16,000th time. I get to serve the body. I get to serve the living stones. I get to bless them. I get to serve them communion. I get to welcome them. I get to encourage them. I get to pray for them when they're going through a rough patch. I get to join with them in a small group and walk that journey of health together. I get to serve the house, because the house isn't a building. The house is people. Revelation this morning, amen. Revelation this morning. Just as we close our eyes this morning. You know, maybe you're in this place and it's the first time you've actually heard a message like this, that religion is more than just things that are dead. Religion is alive. Religion is not even religion as far as we're concerned. It's about relationship. Relationship with God. And I just want to encourage you today that this is your moment, that God loves you so much that he's brought you into this space, into this building, to hear that he loves you, he has a plan for you. He sent his son Jesus to die on a cross, be buried and rise again on the third day so that our sins could be forgiven. I just want to encourage you today that you're welcome in this house. This house is for everyone. God's house is for everyone. God wants to make your spirit his dwelling place too. He wants to love you and redeem you and see you walk powerfully in every area of your life. But for that to happen, the first thing you need to do is actually call upon the name of the Lord. It says in Romans 10 verse 9, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. And so this morning, just as you're in this place with everyone's eyes closed this morning, I just want to give you the opportunity to accept and receive Jesus as your Savior, Lord and Savior. Give you the opportunity to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. And the first thing I want to do this morning, just with everyone's eyes closed, if that's you, it's like, yeah, I want to know Jesus. I want to start having a relationship with God. I want to know him personally. I want to know his forgiveness and his love. Just with everyone's eyes closed, can I ask you just to put your hand up? Once you put your hand up, you can put it back down. But just so I can see, it's like, yeah, you're telling me that I want to respond to that. Is there anybody in this place that's going to say, yeah, I want to know Jesus personally. I want to know him personally. If you're watching online this morning, I just want to encourage you. This is for you as well. Respond in the space that you're in this morning. Say, yeah, thank you. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. You can put your hand down once you put it up. Is there anyone else this morning? If you're at home, this is your moment to respond as well. If you're watching online at a later date, this is your moment to respond. Just with everyone's eyes closed this morning. Now, what we're going to do as a church is we're going to pray a prayer. It's a prayer of asking Jesus to come into your heart, be forgiven of your sin, and choose to follow him all the days of your life. And as a church, let's pray this prayer together. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you went to the cross and you rose again for the forgiveness of my sin. I repent of my sins. I surrender my life to you. From this day on, I'm choosing to follow you. I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that Jesus is Lord. Amen. Awesome. Now, if you prayed that prayer this morning for the first time, or you prayed it again because you've maybe been on your own journey for a little bit, if you're watching online and you prayed that prayer, I just want to encourage every single one of you. This house is for